Welcome, everyone. We are having technical difficulties, as happens when we raise the vibration. I got to tell you, every time we raise the vibe, the circuits get blown. So I couldn't be in the backyard because of weather. I appreciate everyone's patience and understanding, but I did raise the vibe. I have fire going on inside this house the best I could. I lit every candle I got, and it is really magical. And where I'm sitting in the east window would have been similar to when we sit outside with the western view, where we start at this time at sunset because we want to get things going, and then by the time we're rolling, it's dark. So in here, once it gets dark, all these candles would have really popped. We do have some good stuff to cover. If you have your own fire safe container, I was going to show you mine and then show you what I do to burn things and let go and let God up in here. Meantime, we're going to check in with the season, the energetic support for the season, which is 6 weeks long, which takes us all the way from now until spring equinox. And then we have some very juicy divinations to cover that are our guidance and support. There is a reading for the community in the classroom that I did by pulling cards, and that reading is a sample of a reading that you all could order for yourselves for only $25. So if you're interested, that's fine. You can go look at that in the classroom. I also uploaded a couple of the horse tools, not all of them, but a couple that spark you for the season and guide you as we go deeper. But for these divinations, I went to Women Who Run with the Wolves, and we broke it down in a way that we can do in community with everyone. So I'm very grateful for folks that are joining me from all kinds of different angles, y'all. So this is what's beautiful about tonight. For my Elements of Ritual class students that are here, this is the turn of the wheel, which we celebrate 8 times a year around here. I've been doing it for over 30 years and with people since 1999 online. So I've been at it a long time. And when you start to work with the seasonal rhythms, life starts to make a little more sense. Things seem to work out a little better and more organically, and there's less of pushing the river or being frustrated that things aren't doing what you want them to do and what have you. So we love to follow the seasons. Winter, spring, summer, fall is the what we call the solar outer-directed seasons of the year. Everyone's pretty familiar at the turn of the wheel there because lots of things are happening. There's lots of activity and choices. Those turns are ruled by Aries, Libra, and Cancer, Capricorn, which are the cardinal energies of the chart. We all have it somewhere. And it's where we make our choices and decisions, make our moves in the world, and cultivate our lives, you know, pretty interactively. It's movement at the turn of the seasons. But in between there, these gates of power are ruled by the Taurus, Scorpio, Leo, Aquarius energies, which are fixed. During this time, which is usually a month after the season, so we're after winter solstice, but we're before spring equinox, where we're either going to anchor something permanently or release something permanently, and probably a little bit of both. So the idea that I like to teach about the rhythm is that the month before winter, spring, summer, fall is also ruled by Gemini, Sag, and Virgo, Pisces. These are the processors of the zodiac and the houses in our chart where we do our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual processing and integration. If we don't do the processing and integration, it's really hard to become embodied wisdom, number one. But it also makes it harder at the turn of the season when it's time to make choices and decisions. If you haven't done your processing, then the choices aren't going to really be based on good stuff. It's going to be a little challenging. But if you did your processing during Gemini, Sag, or Virgo, Pisces, 4 times a year, we get to break and process. That's not too much to ask, quarterly. Then the month of shift, winter, spring, summer, fall, then we make choices and decisions. And the month after is the fixed energies of Taurus, Scorpio, and Leo, Aquarius, where we anchor or release based on the decisions or choices we made, right? So if you make certain choices and decisions, that means certain things are ending and certain things are beginning or moving or changing in some kind of way that has to be accommodated. So we learn the rhythm is process, choose, anchor, or release, depending on what you're doing. Process, choose, anchor. Process, choose, anchor. So I'm always asking, what time is it? What time is it in the season? Okay, time to be processing? Is it time to be making decisions? Is it time to be anchoring things? I ask about the month, you know, new moon, full moon, quarters. Are we getting things going, building the energy? Or has the energy peaked and it's waning and we need to close things out and clean things up? What time is it? Not about clocks and calendars. It's about daylight and nightlight. day and night and balancing out the rhythms that work for you. So like what happened today, we got to roll with the punches. We celebrate every turn of the wheel. And normally I would be outside with the fire pit, and I'm sure by spring equinox, it'll work fine. Unless it's raining, it could be raining in the spring, spring showers, right? But last year, I think I got 7 out of 8 outside by the fire. But you can bring it in. If you have a fire safe bowl, I want people thinking throughout the night as I put things on the table about the energies that we're going to be exploring over the next 6 weeks. Things you want to let go of tonight and over the next 2 weeks at least. What are you clearing out in order to embody your unique contribution, to be able to express it, to share it, to embody it completely, to be your authentic self and to offer your unique contribution is what we are sparking this season. So some of this season is also about purification. Sometimes we have to cleanse and release. So where was I? The seasons and the order and the rhythm. And where we're at with this particular one is Leo Aquarius. So the idea is to tap in and spark the new vision for the year. This is the season for that. Winter solstice is more like a conception point. For the last 6 weeks, we've been incubating something, conceiving something, perceiving different things to make our choices and do what we got to do. Now, this in agriculture, they call it the sweet spot. It's the membrane between seed and new life when the seed pops. So if ostensibly we've been moving seeds around and deciding where we were going to plant them and how deep in the dirt we were going to dig. Now stuff is stirring. Whatever's going to take is starting to move. Depending on how you nurture it will depend on how well it thrives and prospers and comes fully, you know, to full blossom, right? But this is the season to vision about it. So I think I was going into purification by fire or water is a big part of this season. So there's lots of fasting and cleanses and detoxing that goes on at this time too, basically to get the past year out of the way and to let go of everything that didn't take or didn't work or didn't go the way you thought it should or shoulda, woulda, coulda. Now we do a little bit of a mourning period with that. So honoring grief work at this turn of the wheel is really vital and important. So don't sleep on the grief work. Don't push it aside. Try to give yourself a day here and there to process what did not go down in 23 the way you wanted it to so that you can vision what is going to be better in 2024. Here's where you also want to make that connection to when I say your unique contribution, there might be something like you're doing. I'll use me as an example. I do the astrology. Shamanic astrology is a kind of a unique thing, but then specializing in cycles and patterns gave me a focus and gave me a specialty. So whatever you're already doing, this is the time of year where you think about how can I go narrow and deep? How can I specialize in this one thing? Or at the same time, we're also thinking about what our new reputation is going to be. What do we want to be known for in the year of 2024? Or what do you want your 2024 to represent? Like, how do you want to get it done this year? This is when we vision that. And it's still private, though, because, again, with the gate of power being more lunar, whereas winter, spring, summer, fall is more solar, now we're more inner-directed, concentrating on what's happening behind the scenes. How's your foundation? How's your nourishment? How's your rhythm? Is it working for you? How's that go? For this 6 weeks, it's so intense. Let me say that, too, up front. February is super intense, and April, May is super intense, with rare alignments, rare activations, rare energies coming together. So in addition to the usual annual rhythms, annual energies that are kicking that we have to deal with all the time, now we've got some big kind of once in 84 years messing with Uranus, once in 12 years messing with Jupiter. So there's a lot. And Venus and Mars are about to reset in Aquarius as well. So Aquarius is a big theme right now, and it's being extended by other things happening. And so we're going to get to that. The energetic support is covering us until equinox. We look first at the moon and what the lunar situation is. We are moving through some super new moons, Aquarius, Pisces, Aries, super new moons, new beginnings. And we're going to talk about that on the 8th for anyone that wants to join the community event there, which will be a conference call and I won't have to worry about all this. So the new beginnings that are happening right now are a little more intense. And the thing about a new beginning or any kind of new moon and planting seeds is that you really can't know which ones are going to take and which ones are going to activate and be strong. All you can do is sow your seeds and do your best to support their nourishment. So we want to think about that. And another way to think about it is Aquarius, Pisces, Aries is the ending, new beginning of the zodiac there. It's also where we culminate in terms of dealing with the outer world So some of these new beginnings have to do with you claiming certain sovereignty, independence, and freedom to do your own thing and not be beholden to certain people, partnerships, or groups or communities and things. Some of you are going to actually start new communities and develop the ones you already have going. Like mine is expanding, Yeye's is expanding. The other people that I collaborate with are really growing if their base is solid. And if the foundation is solid, this is expansion time for folks. But if it's new beginning time, then you can't know everything you need to know. So you sort of have to walk by faith and trust. And then when it gets to the full moons and we're clearing out this month, or let's say this lunation, because it's already been, it's past January 25th with the Leo full moon, the Virgo full moon's coming, and the Aries full moon that comes after that is going to be an eclipse. So what I also want to put on your radar about this lunar energy taking us to spring equinox is that it's leading into Aries Libra eclipses, which is also going to overlap by the end of the year with Pisces Virgo eclipses. So for those of you on that cusp or that have those energies activated, this is what I call an overlap year, which is a little more chaotic. But for the rest of us, we're clearing out what doesn't work for your individual system, that is no longer part of who you are or what you want, is not part of your identity or purpose or what you really want to express in the world. So think about what you're clearing out so that you can bring in the new Aquarius vision, right? Pisces energy has to do with that connection to your spirit team. And Saturn is there right now, so that super new moon can be anchored in something really solid if you have been developing your relationship with your ancestors and Orisha, angels and archangels, whatever you work with in terms of your invisible team. This year, next year, you know, we're in a process that's about 2.5 to 3 years long of anchoring 30 years to come of that support and that trust and that, let's say, faith in your own intuition to guide you properly. Now, if you're not numbed out by food and pharmaceuticals, then your six senses are what tell you what's real and what's right for you and your system. So if we can stay as healthy and clean as possible, then we can intuit what the right path is. The whole dynamic between Virgo Pisces is about right timing and intuiting what right timing is for you and your system, your being. And so we want to think about this, how we are culminating a process, because technically, you know, the Gregorian calendar does what it does, but technically the real new year doesn't start till spring. So we're still completing in a way. We want to make sure that we do all the completion work we need to do, because when you go to start something new, if you haven't tied up all the loose ends of the past, the new's not going to work no way. So let's think about that. And the moon is our inner default settings, our emotional, it's our moods, right? We say our moods are our messengers. So we want to pay attention to what the moon is doing, but we can't let it run it too strong where you're giving into those moods and they're getting you off track and you're not functional. You know, like, so deep breath. So the lunar work, the personal work has to do with completions and new beginnings and lots of self-care. There's going to be repetitive messages here about self-care and your systems and how much you can really take of the way the world is going these days, whether it's the food and pharmaceuticals or the politics and the crazy educational system, all of it. All of it is up for renewal, so that's the problem. We're living through the death and rebirth of a country, literally. And I try to remind people, America's a baby country. We're only having our first Pluto return, our first and only 250-year cycle. Whereas the oldest country, when I looked it up, was Ethiopia, has had 15 250-year cycles, and they still stand it. So we have to think about the bigger picture, too, and then dial it in for your own values and priorities, like quality of life. How much of this crazy can your system really deal with, and how much should you keep better boundaries so it doesn't derail what your actual day-to-day existence is looking like and feeling like, right? So February 5th, where are we? Today's the 4th. So tomorrow, Mercury liberates us and moves into Aquarius. But the minute it does that, it hits Pluto. So we're having this huge transformation of consciousness. Mercury's the little mind, our thinking and processing and how we do anything is meeting Pluto. And technically, this is the first time in 250 years Pluto's been there. So it's been a long time since we've had access to this kind of powerful transformative energy in that department of our lives. So just look for that kind of purification, transformation, transmutation, evolution going on in your Aquarius, Leo, and Taurus, Scorpio departments by default. Which reminds me, in the post-call note, you'll get the links to the replays and, or, you know, where to go to get them anyway. And the second email for those who registered will get tell you where that Leo, Aquarius, and Taurus, Scorpio is for you personally. So everything I lay on the table tonight, we kind of all have to deal with. But when you get your email separate from that, it's going to tell you specifically for your chart where these rulerships are and where, and it's the houses. It's called the areas of life that are being affected by this upgrade that's happening in the Aquarius department. If we have all this initiation, new consciousness with Mercury, new masculine feminine with Mars and Venus, we're about to meet up there on 2/22 is a big day this year. All leading up to it is big as well. And so the masculine feminine even wants to do sovereign individuals that are part of a team, part of a group, part of the bigger picture, but still individually, okay, we're not getting taken out like that. So think about where your consciousness has evolved and changed. I don't know what COVID did to y'all, but in my opinion, from what I can see, it broke so many things that we have to start from scratch with now. And I think in my mind, my little Kellyism is if nothing's in place, then anything's possible. So that way you can call in whatever vision you want. And with Aquarius, you want to think as far out and progressive and futuristic as possible in that, where do you want to be in 5 or 10 years? How do you want to be living? How do you want to function if the system is upside down and crazy because it's being rebirthed? And we don't have a lot of control over the big social collective thing, but what we do individually contributes to that. And so we want to stay in that light zone as well. And we want to work with the transformation. If we don't work with it, and Aquarius, you know, ruled by Uranus, Uranus is in Taurus, we got to be in our bodies and be practical and grounded about certain things. And at the same time, it's time to change something. We can't keep doing the same thing the same way and thinking that we're going to get new results. So just really think about the one or two things that you could consciously change that would shift everything else. And know that the planets support you completely. And for those in relationship or in communities and in partnerships with folks, it may be that you have to use the other Kelly language for that is, yes, I used to think that way, but Mercury hit Pluto and I changed my mind. You know, Mercury came out of its retrograde and I changed my mind. That's part of the whole process of retrograde is to help reset your thinking and get you looking at things from another perspective. And we're only just coming out of that. So now you get to dream up what's coming next. And at the same time, prepare for the next go-round, which when Mercury retrogrades next time, it'll be all Aries, which is going to affect our spring season. It's going to reverberate. It's going to hit winter, spring, summer, fall by default. So let's think about that. And again, with the rebirth in the Aries zone, with the eclipses, that's a break to realign. It's a new cycle, new 10 and 20-year cycle. So again, with the lunar work, it's not just monthly. Now we're resetting bigger 10 and 20-year cycles. So think about that too, about the year 24, okay? Also, February 6th, Pallas, which has been going back and forth in Scorpio Sag, resetting our wisdom and consciousness and what we believe to be true or possible and helping connect us to our power, to our wisdom, to that aspect of self that has the knowing, right? Your soul self has the knowing. Pallas is the wisdom keeper. She is the one that helps us with our healing capacity and our prismatic perspective and helps, like I said, see things from other angles. And right now, I always say Scorpio is raw truth and Sag is higher truth. So with it lingering there, we're sort of going back and forth or, you know, what are our essential needs and things that are really important and what do we believe to be true or possible, right? And how does that influence what we actually manifest or create or cultivate? So let's think about that and think about healing, healing that consciousness, healing on a soul level. Let's do what we got to do. Sirius on the 7th, 6, 7, 8 is just the three ladies are kicking. It's so crazy. It's all in 1 week. Sirius is going to linger in Capricorn. So now how we nurture and like to be nurtured is checking in with the Council of Grandmothers, the Council of Elders to ask what is wise, what is sustainable, what is beautiful, what is stabilizing and protecting rather than the opposite, destabilizing, you know, what is the quality nutrients it's going to take to reset your world? And in the Capricorn department, what are you nurturing? What are you caring for? What are you feeding right now? And that part of your life, again, when you look at your chart and you know which house it is, and I'll be able to help those of you who don't know, just reach out directly. So thinking about that nurturing energy and then thinking about what you've inherited from the family, from your DNA bloodline, and what you prefer with your affinity people. How does that go? And where do you feel safe and comfortable? And have you been able to turn, friends into family and things like that? We want to treat business like a family and family like a business. I have protocols and boundaries with my DNA family because they're crazy and I don't have time for it. But with my business, with you all, with my clients and students, you get extended a lot of latitude and patience and love and understanding. And that's just how we roll with the Cancer Capricorn energies. But nurturing and nourishing this year, because it's going to take a whole 10-month process to reset this, is again, what is practical for you? What are you building in terms of your reputation and what you want to be known for? What is your purpose this year? And how can you feed that purpose? I've always trained my people to chase a purpose, not a job. You can take jobs temporarily here and there to get some money flowing and do what you got to do, but ultimately you should be looking to find your purpose and deepen that dedication. Vesta is what's sacred to you, the individual, and where we focus sometimes to the exclusion of other things. So she's lingering in Gemini Cancer. So now we're talking self-care in the mental health department, as well as the nourishment and, food, sex, and money department, the survival and the essential needs, how they're being met, how's that working? And so let's think about how those resets are happening and how rare they are, because the girls retrograde every year. Like everything resets pretty annually in a certain kind of way. But when they linger like this in a certain department, it's many, many, many years since they've done it in the Gemini Cancer department, let's say with Vesta. So what's sacred now would be communication and clear self-expression, feeling safe to express yourself that way. Again, with your essential needs and the self-care that Cancer brings, how you take care of yourself is all the Cancer department. How you feed, how you rest, how you do your day-to-day living, and how you function privately. So Vesta is saying, let's make that sacred again, not just important, but sacred. And then here we go. The ride begins February 13th when Mars enters Aquarius until March 22nd. So it's like a solid month and change there. Then February 16th, Venus enters Aquarius until March 11th. So 11 and 22 for my numbers, people. Venus and Mars are being real cute right now. Both of them hook up with Pluto. Mars on 2/14 on February 14th and Venus on the 17th. So days apart, but check it. This is really interesting because Mars is doing everything first. So here we had to change our thinking with Mercury first. Then we could change our choices and actions with Mars. Who we are and what we want can start to shift now. And as we do that, the values and priorities with Venus and who we can be in relationship and partnership with is going to ultimately change as well. And 2/22 is when Mars and Venus get together for their new cycle and to initiate a new, and it's usually a year and a half to 2 year cycle in Aquarius. So again, with each individual being sovereign, knowing who they are, what they bring to the table and the value of that. And at the same time, developing community because no man is an island and none of us can do this alone. None of us. It doesn't even matter if you were off the grid. You could be off the grid and you still gonna need some help to work the land, to do what you got to do. So we need people, and this Aquarian age is coming in. And so all these little planets are hitting it first. And when I say little, even Jupiter and Saturn have started a new 200-year cycle in air signs that kicked off with Aquarius in 2020. So we're in a zone where what is good for the many is more important than what is good for the one or the few. So we want to see that vision as well as being possible and feasible. We want to see our masculine, feminine dynamics balanced and loving. Think of the other side of Aquarius as Leo, the heart. If your heart's not in it, why do it? Why be there? Why even bother? So we're also getting back to where's the love and when and how do we care about certain things? And how does that actually work now that society has shifted so crazy and dramatically? But these are prayer days, I would say. Definitely think about transformation of Mars, your masculine on February 14th, your feminine transformation on February 17th, and then think of the dynamics of them together on 2/22, which will be a magical day. Now, following that, 2/28 is a pretty magical day too. Now we're talking Mercury, Sun, and Saturn getting together in Pisces on February 28th. That's a really good prayer day for calling in the new vision, because when Mercury and Sun get together, it sets off a new cycle. This is what it means to come through the retrograde and reset. And it resets in Pisces, goes on through Aries, and then slows down again. So here we're calling in a new vision of wholeness and integration, again, with the sovereignty of what is best for your system, what works for your system and is healthy for you personally. Reliance on your invisible team, because the humans are unavailable for consultation right now. Everybody's crazy. Everybody got something going on. Everybody's dealing with some kind of transformation on some level. So we want to turn to our team when that happens. Our Orisha and our ancestors are always there, but help has to be invited. They do not impose. And if they do have to smack you upside the head, you really don't want to go that way. So it's better if you sit down and invite them. So on 228, I would sit down with the spirits because it's all Pisces. So it's all other dimensional and imagination and what kind of dream you would like to live into. What kind of narrative are you cooking up right now? That includes you being independent. Then the challenge energy starts coming in March. Like I said, things are going to start heating up and forcing us to make choices and decisions we may have been postponing for a while come March, April, May. So March 9th, prayer day is micro to macro. On one hand, you need to think about, again, your own sovereignty and independence and how that works and what your needs are. Like, how often do you need to be alone and how often do you need to be with folks in community? And how does that nourish your system in whatever way? Everybody's unique, no judgment. Everybody does it their own way and hopefully finds the communities where they're comfortable. So think about where you've changed and who you are and what you want, and then how the world's changed and what they're doing. How are we going to rectify that? Because 3-9 is a square between Mars and Uranus. So who you are and what you want in this moment, and then who you are and what spirit wants for you, is something else altogether. And we all are getting cracked open on a certain level to claim a new level of identity and purpose going forward. The old ways are just not going to work. So again, if we resist change, things are going to be harder. If we delay and deny change of heart, change of mind, change of whatever, change of path and direction, change of the purpose and reality, change of the story. There's just changes in the air whenever Aquarius is kicking anyway. But then you add all these little special alignments or cycles that are going down. Those are pretty rare. And March 9th, on the same day that we have this challenge with Mars and Uranus and waking up to who we are and what we want at new levels in pretty literal ways, Mercury enters the retrograde zone for Aries. So just know, you know, as soon as you start having these ahas, Mercury's going to slow down and ask you to really think them through before you act on them or make choices. So that's the energetic support. The animal guide for February is always horse. Well, not always, but we're doing it for a couple years, horse. And then I think I'll rotate out a new 12, well, new 12 animal to work with. But horse is our February guide to help us heed the call to a new direction. And I hope activate some fun, loving adventure in our lives this year. The housekeeping is around your freedom needs and any kind of excessive burdens or obligations. Again, if you've obligated yourself to certain things that are no longer feasible, viable, comfortable, whatever, let's clear them out and do the purification that this season supports as well. We're composting any need to go it alone. Right? Again, help has to be invited, and you do have to do things yourself, but you don't have to do them alone. And we're feeding the emergent self, your future self, and your unique contribution. That's where we want to plant the seeds around all that, around being your authentic self and really sharing your gifts at whatever level you can. Doesn't mean you have to be a professional at certain things. It just means to shine your light and don't hide your light under a bushel. Now, with horse medicine, and probably the Mad Libs covered some of the subtle energies, travel and restlessness. The journal prompt, if you do choose to get the horse package, is only $25 to get the replay and the tools. The journal prompts are about wild versus tame, vision and limits. So these are things that the horse medicine can help us think about this month as well. When it comes up, you can ask for your special horse to walk with you and to carry you through. The prayers are about freedom, power, and mobility with horse. And so these are also things we need to think about. I'm really thinking about that mobility piece. Give me a second here. Ears are, like, I feel like I just went up in an airplane. So the dimensions are shifting around here. So we're about to go in for the divinations. That is a perfect signal. And I wanted to tell you all, especially you, those of you learning about rituals and ceremonies, this turn of the wheel is a good time to just be still and receive the messages, which is what's going to come through these divinations.